Today's gospel reading is taken from the book of Luke, the second chapter, starting at the 41st verse. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw this, they were astonished. And his mother Mary said to him, "Child, why have you treated us this way? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Jesus said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. These are the sacred words from Luke's Gospel. The liturgy often moves very quickly. Just a number of days ago, we celebrated Christmas, and the Gospel story we heard was that of the birth of Jesus. Now, in just 2 days, we have moved 12 years later to the incident where Jesus was in the temple with teachers. On January 10th, 2 weeks from now, the liturgy will have skipped 18 more years of Jesus' life, and we will hear of Jesus' meeting with John the Baptist. By the way, next week, the liturgy shifts back, and we go to the story of the three wise men who come to pay homage to Jesus. So, what we have learned about in the Christmas reading of scriptures is a hint of how the birth of Jesus affected the lives of all those around him. Not just Mary and Joseph, but various shepherds and kings, Simeon, Anna, Elizabeth, Zechariah, all the innocent children that were killed and their families, and Herod, and on and on and on. The Christmas story is about the birth of a baby who was named Jesus and how that birth affected many people. But notice that all that Jesus did in the Christmas stories was just to be. He, the baby, was just there. That's all he did. He was there. Other than crying, being fed, and having his clothing changed, he did and said nothing. So for the next 12 years, he continued. He grew up. So my first question, just as a matter of inquisitiveness, is, well, what did a child at that time, 2,000 years ago, do when they were very young and they were growing up? So I started doing some research, and from people who know those things, I learned that babies like babies today played with rattles. And very small children like to play with whistles, which probably affected many people in this small village that late at night. Family life included uncles and aunts, cousins, nephews, and nieces, all living in close proximity. So children were raised not only by their parents, but in small villages by the entire village. So then, well, how did Jesus play when he was 3 to 6 years old? Well, both boys and girls played with puppets on strings and with pool toys. Little girls had dollhouses, and some had little pottery furnishings for their dollhouses. Girls had dolls and arms and legs that moved and beads for hair. Both boys and girls played games like catch with leather balls, and younger children played hopscotch and marbles. And both boys and girls learned to juggle. Slingshots were also very popular. I also learned that during hot weather, the children and their parents would climb up to the roof of the houses to sleep up there because the heat down below was so intense. And I also learned, and I found this in Deuteronomy chapter 22, that Deuteronomy, the Jewish law, also commanded this: when you build a new house, you shall make a parapet or low fence on your roof. Otherwise, you might have guilt on your house if anyone should fall from the roof. So I can picture Jesus, perhaps at age 7, laying on the roof of the house on warm and sunny nights and looking up at the starry sky and wondering, just wondering. And then putting into place all that he was learning from the Torah and from his parents, and from the fellow neighbors, and from the teachers in the synagogue, all about God. And I can picture Jesus looking at those stars as he prayed the psalm that we prayed today, Psalm 148, praising God from the heavens, using the sun and the moon and the stars that God created. Since children roughly from age 6 on would work, and since Joseph, who raised Jesus, we are told, was a woodworker, probably a maintenance man, then as Jesus helped Joseph, he would have learned to make tables and stools, and also door frames and wooden tools for farmers. Because Joseph probably traveled around to install those windows and door frames and fix things, he would have taken Jesus with him. And this gave Jesus, during those years, a lot of insight into other people's lives when he went to other villages in the region to make deliveries and to fix things. So this was most likely the life that Jesus lived before this episode that we have just heard when he was 12 years old. We also know that Jesus probably would have attended synagogue every Sabbath. And while there, he learned to read. And that takes us to the incident in today's gospel. This is the first time that Jesus speaks in the gospels, and he's already 12 years old. And we learn that Joseph and Mary went up as usual for the Passover festival and took Jesus with them. Because Passover in Jerusalem was a major celebration, they would have traveled with their relatives and friends from the village of Nazareth. In many ways, it would have been like walking from Madison, Wisconsin to the State Fair in Milwaukee and staying there for a week, a big party. So the Passover was a week-long festival which began with a special meal called the Seder. Traditional foods during that meal, and each had symbolic religious meaning, would have had fruit, honey, parsley dipped in salt water, bitter herbs and egg, and a piece of roasted meat, which represented the lamb, which was a special paschal sacrifice on the eve of the Exodus from Egypt. And we learn more, of course, about the paschal sacrifices during Lent as we get closer to Easter. We learn when the festival was ended, Mary and Joseph started the trip to return to their home, but 12-year-old Jesus was not traveling with them. They assumed he was in the group of travelers that had walked down with them from Nazareth. So that evening at dusk, when the travelers would usually stop and start to cook supper, Mary and Joseph started to look for Jesus. They did not find him. And can you imagine their fright? Even though he was 12 years old and almost an adult by standards of that time, he was missing. The child they loved was gone. To give you a better idea of the geography, the distance from Nazareth to Jerusalem is approximately 65 miles, roughly the distance between here and Madison. Walking at a 2.5-mile-an-hour pace would mean a trip of about 20 miles a day for about 8 hours of walking, which would mean a 3.5-day trip. So the entire trip from Nazareth, and when Joseph and Mary walked the full day, would have been about 20 miles. And it took them then another 20 miles to return to Jerusalem. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, they started to look for Jesus again. Again, people that know these things estimate that the population of Jerusalem at the time of Herod was roughly 120,000 to 200,000 people. It was a large city. The Gospel states that it took Mary and Joseph 3 days to find Jesus. And again, can you picture the terror in their hearts that they had during those days? Can you imagine them even wanting to stop to eat or to sleep while they were agonizingly looking for their son? But they did find him, and when they found him, what was he doing? He was listening to teachers in the temple. Now, this was some days after the Passover festival, so all the travelers were gone to their homes and villages. The citizens of Jerusalem were enjoying some normalcy again after all the pilgrims had left. Therefore, in the temple, there was time for students to listen and to learn. So Jesus was there, attentive to the teachers and asking questions of them. When Joseph and Mary found Jesus, they were amazed at his understanding of theology, which would have included the books of Torah and the prophets and the Psalms and the other books of the Hebrew Testament. And they were impressed at the answers that Jesus was giving to the temple teachers. However, his parents, when they saw him, they were also irritated. So their surprise at Jesus' knowledge gave way as parents to being hurt and upset. So Mary and Joseph asked him why he stayed behind and they reminded him that they were half out of their minds looking for him. Jesus told his mother and Joseph, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" So part of what Jesus told them was that all they had to do was come to the temple, because that's where they should have known that that's where he would have been. And that's where he would have been easily found. Now, the author of this gospel tells us that Jesus left with them, traveled back to Nazareth, and was obedient to them. Then Luke also tells us that Jesus continued to increase in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. So we learned that Jesus matured. He continued to grow up. And that he was blessed both by God and by his fellow people. Now, from age 12 to age 30, we learn nothing more about Jesus until he encountered John the Baptist. So what does this brief incident that we learned about today in Jesus and Mary and Joseph's life tell us about them? Well, for one, we learn that Jesus had learned much about theology and Jewish law. We learn that the people who listened to the depth of Jesus' questions and the clarity of his answers were impressed and amazed. And by the way, they were probably impressed for two reasons. The first was that he was just 12 years old, but even then very close to bar mitzvah time. But the second was that he was from a backward village called Nazareth. Do you remember that in John's Gospel in chapter 1, after Jesus invited Philip to be an apostle, Philip then went to his friend Nathanael and told him about the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. With sarcasm, Nathanael responded to his friend Philip, "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there?" Now, even now, there are certain cities and states and towns in the United States and throughout the world that have comical connotations and are scorned and mocked. And Jesus was from one of those derided places, Nazareth, where nothing good can come from it. Also recall John's Gospel in chapter 19, when the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, years later, when Jesus was crucified, had a derisive notice placed on the cross, and that notice read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." By placing that placard on the cross, Pilate was ridiculing the chief priests and officials who wanted Jesus killed by reminding them that the focus of their hatred and attention was this man named Jesus from the backwater town of Nazareth. So what did Jesus do from age 12 to age 30? He grew in wisdom. He grew in understanding. And this incident then tells us that Jesus accepted the grace that was given to him by God, and that grace was that he had an obligation to God. With this grace, Jesus let the duty to God begin to control his life, for he had learned that his life was not his own, but rather that of his Father's. With this awareness, he devoted more and more of his time, energy, and education to God, for he accepted that God was first in his life, the first priority. So we also see that Jesus understood at age 12 that teaching would be central to his ministry, even though it would not start for another 18 years. Before we move on, I want to call your attention to one other short line in this gospel. The sentence is this: Jesus' mother Mary treasured all these things in her heart. This disclosure leads many people to believe that Luke learned many of the details of his gospel directly from Mary, Jesus' mother, who told him not only about this incident, but about other particulars in the Christmas story. So other than this passage, we know nothing about the quiet life that Jesus lived for the 11 years before this incident and the 18 silent years afterward. He didn't give speeches. He didn't create problems. He just grew up. He grew in wisdom. We know he continued to learn, and we continue to pray, which is growth in wisdom. He continued to take care of those around him, which is growth in wisdom. He continued to love his mother and his father, which is growth in wisdom. And what is shown by the Hebrew Testament about wisdom is this. In Psalm 37, we learn that wisdom is connected to justice. In Psalm 111, we learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. Proverbs 8 advises us that wisdom dwells with prudence, and that wisdom with prudence gives a person knowledge and discretion. And Proverbs chapter 19 informs us that a wise person is a patient person. So accordingly, when Luke tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom, we begin to understand that Jesus grew in justice, prudence, knowledge, discretion, understanding, and even patience. What else does this incident tell us? We realize the importance of temple worship to Mary and Joseph and how they imparted their value of temple worship to Jesus as he grew from infancy. In the Christmas story, we are told that when Jesus was still an infant, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to present him to God. And that's when Simeon and Anna made their prophecies about him. God's temple was a vital part of Jesus' life from his birth onward to finally his death. For 30 years, Jesus, with Mary and Joseph, lived an obscure and a silent life. And this is the life that most of us live. Our names are not in the newspapers. For the most part, we're hidden from view. And Jesus grew up in a small village that was considered backward by even the standards of that time. We all know people who live secluded lives, but they love those around them. Their names will never be known to perhaps more than 100 people, and they can maybe count no more than 10 people as their friends. These are the people who cook and bake for their families and others. These are the people who drive kids to soccer. These are the people who endure rush hours to go to jobs where they feel unappreciated. These are the people who live in nursing homes where few people come to visit them. These are the people who live isolated lives even in the midst of hundreds of people who live around them because they are not connected with them. But God knew that Jesus was growing up. And God knows that a parent is driving their child to the dentist. And God knows that a spouse is cleaning the house. And God knows that an elderly person is sitting alone watching TV or reading. And Jesus knew that God was watching him, and he trusted in his Father. As a result, Jesus knew even before he was a teenager that he must learn more and more about what God's will was for him. And he knew after that Passover festival when he was 12 years old that he must engage with the teachers in the temple and learn more from them. But meanwhile, his parents did what all parents do. Parents must find lost children, and we must raise our children in the best way we know how, and we must keep our children safe and protect them. So the musts of life collide in this passage, a passage so very much loaded with disclosure about the musts of individuals and relationships. So we have to realize that we, as Jesus felt he must, need to follow Jesus' example and put God first in our lives, and all will turn out well. In the invisibility of the 30 years of his silent life, Jesus became familiar with his Father and knew that he was not ignored or forgotten by his Father. Rather, in that obscure little village, Jesus loved those around him and grew up to be a just person, a prudent person, knowledgeable about God and God's scripture, a person of discretion, a person of understanding, and a person who is very, very, very patient with sinners. In short, Jesus grew up to mature as we grow up to mature, and hopefully we grow up in wisdom in all its attributes. The attributes of patience, prudence, understanding of others and the world, exercising discretion, and learning more and more about God through life and through Scripture. The wisdom that Paul was writing about in the epistle, which was read this morning, Paul reminds us again about the attributes of a good person: compassionate, kind, humble, meek, patient. But above all, Paul reminds us to love one another by allowing the peace of Christ to abide in us. And I think it's that peace of Christ, the peace of Christ that Christ learned, Jesus learned, when he was growing up, how to be peaceful with himself, how to be at peace, which is an aspect of righteousness and an aspect of wisdom. Let us pray. Lord God, your Son Jesus lived a quiet life as we so often do, just learning and praying and being and loving and caring for others. Like your Son, we also search to know your will so that as times come for us to serve you and to serve our neighbor, then we are prepared to do and shall do what we must do, all in your holy name.